qualified, but I believe you can follow along with me, and they should be fairly familiar with you. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, if you want to go over there with me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. I'll give you just a second, because once I start reading the Amplified, it might be a little harder for you to keep up. But Ephesians 5:15, coming out of the Amplified, says, "Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understand and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments, and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. At all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father." I like that in the Amplified, don't you? I like the way that it brings some things out. And what I want to mostly bring out of this is the fact that the Amplified says, "Be ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Ghost." Ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Ghost. Now, the word stimulated means this in the dictionary. Actually, even in the Greek, it means to be goaded. It means to be roused or excited to action or more vigorous action. Stimulated means to have something move you. Well, what's going to move me? Well, he says for us to make sure that we're stimulated by the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to start to get a picture of this, okay? When a person's heart stops, they have a thing called what? A defibrillator, right? And that defibrillator is used to shock that heart back into action. You know, I've never seen one live, but I've watched TV, you know. And maybe somebody's heart will stop, you know, they'll have them there and they'll get the defibrillator and the person gets a hold of the paddles. And then they put that cream on the paddles, you know, and then they rub them together and then they pull them apart. And what do? They say, "Clear!" And they hit them. And you watch the body jump. Sometimes again, they'll holler, "Clear!" And they'll hit it again if their heart doesn't jump back into action. And hopefully, that heart starts beating again. Now, I want you to get a picture of this. The Bible says for us to ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God's defibrillator to the body of Christ. Come on, you got to get a hold of this. Now, without the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, you're nothing. Come on, we've got to learn to listen to Him and let Him stimulate us, let Him move us, let Him get a hold of us and cause us and unction us. See, He won't make you do anything, but He will urge you, unction you. Acts 1 and 8 says what? "But you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." You'll receive power when? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So the Holy Ghost needs to come upon us and come inside of us so that we can be stimulated. Let me show you something. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Look at this. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And God said, 'Clear!' And it set on each one of them." And they began to speak in tongues. Now, God didn't really say clear, but that's what was happening. They're up there in one accord. They're all praying. They're all waiting on the promise of the Father. And here all of a sudden comes this mighty rushing wind. And then these cloven tongues of fire, they set down on each one of them. And the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, church, here's the Holy Ghost coming onto the scene, coming into the earth for the first time for mankind. Jesus said, "It is expedient for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, then the Holy Spirit cannot come." You see, so when Jesus ascended to heaven, when He left the earth, He didn't leave us alone. He sent the Holy Ghost down here. Now, here's the thing about Him sending the Holy Ghost down to us. He sent the Holy Ghost not to just be with us, but to be in us. You see, Jesus was here with them. And now here this group is, and Jesus has sent the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is now in them. You see, and that's what God's desire is for each and every one of us, is for us to be filled with the Spirit. Now, you go over to Acts chapter 8, and you'll find that Philip went over to Samaria, and he began to preach there, and he taught it to them Christ. And there were signs and wonders and miracles that were going on. And the people believed the preaching of Philip. And there was a sorcerer there that people had used to believe in him because he could do sorcerer things. But when they saw the true power of God, even the sorcerer believed God. And the Bible says they believed and they were baptized. Now it goes on to say that when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that they had believed the gospel that had been preached, they went down there and they prayed for them that they would receive the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what happened. The Bible then says, and then when they had laid their hands on them, they began to speak with tongues and prophesy. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. What happened? Well, I tell you what happened. It's when the apostles went down there, the Bible says that they had been baptized in the name of Jesus. What that means is that they had been saved, but they hadn't been filled. Come on. They had been saved, but they hadn't been filled. So when the apostles go down there, here they are now. Picture the emergency room again, that hospital room. Here's the apostles, and here are the believers that need something. They need their stimulation. And so you can just kind of see them maybe rubbing their hands together. A little of that oil. And laying their hands on it and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." And they were filled with the Holy Ghost right there. They began to speak with other tongues. See, the importance is this, church. It's number one, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But then once you get filled with the Holy Ghost, the evidence of that in the cases that we see in the Word of God, that's what you have to look at. The evidence, after you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll speak with other tongues. And people say, "Well, why would I want that?" Well, you need that unique prayer language that comes only from God. You see, the church needs a Holy Ghost stimulation. When I first started getting into this thing, man, we were hungry. We wanted to get filled with the Holy Ghost so bad, and we didn't have anybody to tell us anything. Or we didn't know anybody to tell us anything. I'm sure there were some people that could have, but we didn't know anybody. I mean, I was out of a denominational church. But you see, here's the thing. I was hungry for God. I wanted more of God. And so I saw this in the Word of God, and I said, "Well, if it's in the Word of God, it's got to be true." Right? Is it in your Bible? It's in my Bible. So if it's in the Word of God and God can't lie, then it has to be true. I don't care what churches say. I don't care what other preachers say. I don't care what denominations believe. I believe the Word of God. And of course, I know now for myself because I've been filled. But you know what? I didn't get filled in a Holy Ghost-filled church. I got filled while I was still a good Baptist boy. Now that caused me a problem, kind of, because the association I was associated with didn't believe in it. Matter of fact, it was in their national creed or whatever their national book is, their national book of rules, that they believed that the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues was an erroneous doctrine and it would not be tolerated. Yeah, well, the Bible must be erroneous then. because it's there. Now, see, here's the thing. Some folk get real, you know, technical, and what they want is they want the Bible to say, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you will speak with other tongues. Okay? That's what they want it to say so that they can, you know, well, it's right. No, here's what you do. You interpret the Bible by the Bible. So you go into the book of Acts here. This is the beginning of the church. Okay? This is Jesus, and we'll get to it in a minute, but Jesus is the one that told them to go over and wait for the promise of the Father. That's what they were doing in Acts chapter 2. Jesus, He didn't want them going anywhere and doing anything until after they got filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, well, yeah, but you know, that was going to be their born-again experience. No, no. Jesus appeared to them in the upper room and breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. That was their born-again experience. This is now them getting filled with the Holy Ghost. They're getting filled again. The power of God. Now, let me get back to where I was at before I lose it. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost in the Word of God, you'll find you can go back and look at each instance and you'll find that people spoke with tongues. Some of them prophesied and did other things, but they spoke with tongues. The only one you don't see immediately speak with tongues is Saul, when he got the Ananias laid hands on him there, but Ananias was kind of afraid, but Saul didn't know what to expect, but his eyes had been made blind because he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and when he laid hands on him, Ananias went down to lay hands on him that he receive his sight. Okay, that's what the Lord told him to do. But Ananias told the Lord, he said, Lord, I've heard about this man, and he's got power to kill Christians. And God says, I've already dealt with him. I'm just, okay, is it all right if I summarize a little bit here and just kind of paraphrase? He said, he's a chosen vessel. And he went down and Ananias walked in. And when he walked in, he went, Brother Saul, tell me to think about this. Brother Saul, the Lord's told me to come lay my hands on you to receive your sight. And he lays hands on him and says, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. He wanted to get filled. Now, you don't see something there with Paul speaking in tongues. But later on, you see over in Corinthians where Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. I believe he got a little southern accent while he was at it. You know, right? So you see this going on. The reason that God wants you to get filled with the Holy Ghost and be endued with power is, number one, so you can be endued with power. And number two is so that you receive your prayer language. That heavenly language that the devil can't interrupt. The Bible teaches us when we don't know how to pray as we ought, that the Holy Ghost that knows the mind of God, and He knows what's going on, and He knows what's going on in you, He then will take over. When we don't know what to pray, then the Holy Ghost will come and we can pray with words it says it can't even be uttered. I mean, in other words, I'm praying things I don't even know anything about, but the Holy Ghost is praying through me the perfect prayer that needs to be prayed for me or the situation or whatever's going on at the time. How many ever had somebody say, well, I want you to pray for me. Or they'll say something like, I've got an unspoken prayer request. Well, I mean, you don't know how to pray for something like that other than just say, Lord, help them. Right? But you see, if you pray in the Holy Ghost knows what's going on. Come on, church. So when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're praying out the perfect prayer for that particular situation. You might not understand it. I don't have time to do a whole lot of teaching on just this today, because I want to teach more about us getting filled than I do the results of getting filled. But I need you to know the results, you see, because it's important that we know that once we get filled, we're going to speak with other tongues. And it's for a purpose. God has a reason for that. The devil can't understand that language. That's a language between you and God. And you say, well, I don't know how God could do that. Well, I don't know how every one of us could have individual fingerprints either, but God did. Of the millions and billions and billions of people all throughout time, no two of us. You think about that for just a minute. No two of us have had the exact same fingerprints. Think about that. And another thing that's kind of amazing about that is families that are in relation, they will have similar. There will be traits that shows you're part of the family, that family. But you won't have the same. It's the same way with your prayer language. When you call out to God in your prayer language, God is able to say, that's Rick. That's Austin. That's Scotty. They're praying. I got to check this out. How many knows he's listening at all times? Hallelujah. So it was so important that they get filled. And you see in the Word of God that everywhere they got filled, they did speak with other tongues. And that's how you can have a doctrine, because you can prove it. Let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. You can establish this doctrine because you have several occurrences of the same thing going on. I've already shown you in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 19. Paul comes down and he's at the church of Ephesus. And there at Ephesus, he finds believers that have been there. You see, when the church started up, Saul was actually a bad boy. He thought he was doing God's work. He called himself a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was above all his equals, he said. And apparently, he's probably the smartest man in the house. And so here, he thought he was doing God's work to go out and kill Christians because he thought it was false. He thought it was wrong because he had not yet met Jesus. But then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. That's how he ended up blind. Then Ananias lays his hands on him. He gets filled with the Holy Ghost. He gets his sight back. And now, brother, he's a believer. He believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins to preach and teach all over the place. Now, Saul's bad side had caused the church to be scattered because everybody was afraid he was going to kill them. So when Paul goes up on a missionary trip up to Ephesus, he finds about 12 believers up there. And he looked at them up there and he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said, "We've not even heard of the Holy Ghost." Now notice here something. I'm just trying to make a point here. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Since you believed. Well, when you believe, you're a born again, right? He could have just as well said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you were born again?" They said, "We've not even heard." And he said, "Well, we've not heard of any Holy Ghost." And he said, "Well, how were you baptized?" And he said, "Under John's baptism." John's baptism was unto repentance. And the Bible says that he began to talk to them about Jesus. And he preached to them the Lord Jesus. And it says they were baptized now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says he did something. He laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost and began to prophesy. Now, the rest of that story, and I've told it many times, but the rest of that story is he started out with 12 believers. They'd been there all that time. And they begged Paul, "Please stay with us." And Paul stays there a couple years. And before it's over with, those 12 go out now and they evangelize all of Asia Minor. Why? Because now they've been stimulated. Now the power of the Holy Ghost is in them and they're able to go out and do what God called them to do. Now you've got to understand this. This all started out with Jesus. It started with Jesus. What do you mean it started with Jesus? Well, you see, if you read the Word of God, you won't find a miracle done by the Lord Jesus until after He goes out and meets John the Baptist out where He's baptizing. John testifies that he said, "I saw Him come and I didn't even..." And it's amazing to me, he didn't really even recognize who He was. But He came to him. And John bare witness and he bare testimony, the Bible says, that when he baptized the Lord Jesus Christ, that the heavens opened up and there the Holy Spirit descended, see? The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now see, you've got to understand, until that happened to Jesus, he did not do one miracle. His first miracle was when he turned water into wine after the Holy Ghost came into him. You say, "But now he was God. He was Jesus. He's God's Son." You've got to understand, Jesus did not come to this earth as God. He came to this earth as a man, born of a virgin. But you see, that's the unique thing about the way He came. Every person that's born on this earth since the fall of man is born with a sin nature. because the seed comes from a sinful man. The Bible teaches us that Mary was only an incubator. God used Mary's womb, and the seed came from God, untainted. Man had nothing to do with that. And so when Jesus came into this earth, He came by the means of a woman, but He came without that sin nature. And the Bible says that He never did sin while He's upon this earth. And that's why He was able to become sin for us. He did not sin. He took our sin upon Him. He became sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God. So this is all part of God's plan. I'm going a little farther than I need to go, but I just want you to understand what's in the mind of God when He's doing this. So once the Lord Jesus Christ then had the Holy Ghost in Him, He could begin to operate now by the power of the Holy Ghost. God has never done anything without the Holy Ghost. Did you know that? Because the Holy Ghost is God's Spirit. Right? Have you ever went back and read Genesis? And it's talking about in the beginning, the earth was void without form. And the Spirit hovered above the face of the earth. The Holy Ghost is, he's just waiting for God to give Him a command. He's just waiting for God to say, "Let there be light." And the Holy Ghost went, "Light be." Understand that everything was formed through and by the power of the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit. Now, here He is, His creation, His man. And He's had to bail Him out of sin, bring Him out of the kingdom of darkness. And He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. But He can't send Him as God because Satan legally took away man's right to the earth. God had to legally win it back. And that's why He sent Jesus as a man. And Jesus operated on this earth as a man filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's why we see all these believers getting filled with the Holy Ghost is because Jesus said, "I'm going away and I'm going to send Him back down so you can operate on the earth just like I did. Matter of fact, the things I did, greater things you'll do." See that? Now, here's the thing. We have to choose that we want to be stimulated by the Holy Ghost. Did you hear me? There's this little thing called a living will in the natural. And you can sign that piece of paper and they won't take those paddles when your heart stops and put them on you. Because that paper says that you don't want to be resuscitated. That means you have a right to choose whether or not you get the paddles put on you if your heart stops. And, you know, you can have a living will when you're 20 years old if you want to. I don't advise you do that because there's a lot of instances that cause your heart to stop. Might not be a thing in the world wrong with you. You know, I understand when folks get older and they get to the place where they don't have any quality of life and that kind of thing. I understand that. They'd rather be with the Lord as to be suffering on the earth. I get that. But here's what I'm trying to tell you is this. You can choose not to be stimulated by the Holy Ghost. You can choose to just go ahead and take your chances. I'm going to tell you something, church. You won't get very far without having the power of God operating in your life. Now, you can still go to heaven. You can still get born again, go to heaven. That's what most people, that's the main thing. But you see, that's a little bit selfish. Because that's just all about you. See, God wants you filled with the Holy Ghost so the power of God can work through you to help somebody else. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Ghost so that He could help us. And He said, "Now I'm going away and I'm sending the Holy Ghost to empower you so that you can help others." So now you have to choose. You see, I've seen just over the past 10 years or so, or maybe a little longer than that, but I've watched the church nationally, and I've watched and seen even, you know, watching some of the TV programs and that kind of thing. What I've seen is this. I've seen a decline in the excitement in the church. They're not excited about hearing the Word of God. What they want in the church is to be entertained. They want personalities and you know. Come on, church. You see, we are the church. And we have to choose. Listen, I didn't come here to get entertained this morning. I came to worship Him. I came to worship Him. You see, and here's what I believe. I believe, as I was meditating on this and just talking to God about it, I believe God said this. He said, I am telling my people clear. Because I'm getting ready to start some hearts that have been dead to me. Now see, here's something else too though. Anybody ever heard of somebody's heart getting out of rhythm? Sure, we've heard of that kind of thing, you know. I don't know the technical term for it, but it just don't beat like it's supposed to. Is that AFib? Okay. Well, they most of the time use a defib to fix AFib. Right? What they'll tell you is, you know, but people, it's a problem for people. There, you know, it causes them a lot of problems. And so what they'll tell them, they'll try medications and that kind of thing. And then sometimes they just say, you know what? We're going to have to shock your heart back into rhythm. And God said He's about to get ready to start shocking some hearts for those that have been out of rhythm to Him, to get them back in rhythm with Him so that they can be about the Father's business. Church, it's time. It is time. It is more than time. God has been allowing what's went on, and He allowed it to go on, but now there's things turned around. And God is opening up more and more for the church. He's opening up more and more for His Spirit to move, but we have to be willing to be shocked. We've got to be willing to be stimulated. Come on, church. Whether you're dead and you need the heart to start again, or whether you're just kind of out of rhythm and you need to kind of be kicked back in line again, you need a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on. How many knows that's where it all started? And I'm going to promise you, that's where it'll all end. With the Holy Ghost moving through the church, doing signs and wonders and miracles, and proving the devil that he's wrong. Come on, church. Proving the world that they're wrong. The church is alive and well, but it needs a little stimulation. Come on now. I believe God wants it right now. I believe He wants us to start praying in the Holy Ghost. And begin, you say, well, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I mean, well, Jude said for us to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I want you to start stirring yourself up. Now I'm going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to ask the praise team to come. And here's what we're going to do. I believe this is what the Lord instructed me to do. And so I'm going to do like He instructed me to do. Here's what we're going to do. If you can't pray in the Holy Ghost, you've not been filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't have your prayer language. And you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We're going to do exactly what the Bible said do. We're going to lay hands on. Now, you don't have to have hands laid on you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I got filled with the Holy Ghost at my house while I was still, again, in a denominational church that didn't even believe it. But I believed what the Word said. You see, this is not based on what I've preached me. This is based upon the Word of God. Now, you say, well, yeah, but now this is different, you know. Listen, you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the same way that you receive salvation. You believe, you receive, and you can have it. You didn't have anything to do with your salvation. All you had to do was believe the Word of God, receive it, that the Lord Jesus Christ did that, and you're saved. All you got to do to get filled with the Holy Ghost is believe what the Word says, receive it, and then just open up your mouth and let that beautiful prayer language start coming out. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes folks say, well, it's like, you know, You watch people. The words are there, but you see, here's the thing. The Holy Ghost will not force you to do anything. And you have the Spirit of God living in you, but we're talking about being filled to the point that you receive your prayer language now. And when you see in the Word of God being born again described in Acts chapter or in John chapter 4, what you see there is the woman at the well. It's a well of water, and you springing up into everlasting life. But then in John chapter 7, he said, "He that believeth on me, as the scriptures say, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Two different experiences. One, the born again experiences, you draw from a well. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost out of you, then that's for other people, you see. And so, up out of you. Those words sometimes, I mean, you know, that language, it'll be in your mind. It's like you could. Some folks say, "I can see it." Some folks say, "I can hear it." Some folks just say, "You know, I just started speaking it out." You see, that's the Holy Ghost speaking through you. And so here's what I want you to do. If you're born again and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to begin to just lift up right now and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on now. We're in a Spirit-filled church. You don't have to be ashamed in here. If you don't believe it in it, you don't believe in the Word of God. I can show you in the Word of God. You prove it to me different in the Word of God, I'll shut up right now, but you can't. And if you're not filled, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make up your mind that you want to be filled. That you want us to receive your prayer language. And if that's you, you say, "You know, Pastor Mike, I believe all this. I just never have received my prayer language. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost." Or maybe you're here and you say, "Pastor, I've been filled before, but I kind of need to be kicked back into rhythm. I want a refilling." And there's nothing wrong with that, because we find the disciples that over in, I believe it's Acts chapter 5, 4, chapter 4 maybe, that they got refilled with the Holy Ghost. So there's nothing wrong with you coming back and saying, "God, I want another dose." Come on. Now, when you drink something good, having to know you don't just